22-9, one-time independent presidential candidate and friend for a long time, TJ O'Hara, has been kind enough to join us several times this week to give a bit of an insight into the ever-complex world of the United States as it approaches one of its most consequential elections in recent decades next year. Mind you, the campaign begins in a couple of months and the next Republican debate is next week. An ageing infirm president and a former president facing four indictments. It's quite a showdown, isn't it? The majority of Americans don't want either of them, but run they look like doing. And if they are the candidates, it will be a bitter, divisive campaign reflecting a deeply polarized country. So how did this polarization evolve? TJ O'Hara on the line from California. Hey, TJ.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Is it fair to say, I mean, it seems that way from this distance, and when you look at what's happening in America and you read a lot about it, it seems as polarized as ever it's been, doesn't it?
It's very polarized, where you have a Labor Party that I would describe as kind of center-left,
yep,
and a Liberal National Coalition center-right party. They're sort of relatively moderate compared to at least the vocal parts of our parties that pander to their extremes.
Yeah, so have those extremes taken control? But what about the people more widely? You know, I hear about people who don't want to talk to people who simply hold a different political view. That's not healthy in a democracy, TJ.
No, it's part of the political divide, and it's driven really by behavioral manipulation that the parties become quite creative at accomplishing.
How do you turn it around?
I think you have to recognize what's going on from a behavioral standpoint. It's one of the things I lecture on internationally. There's a thing called in-group bias that causes people to tie their self-esteem to a group identity. Bottom line is there's really no such thing in the United States as a Republican or a Democrat. I do an exercise where I have them shout out what they believe the other party reflects from a characteristic standpoint. I get horrible things, racist, misogynist, xenophobe, you know, from the Democrats. You know, describing the Republicans describe the Democrats, Marxist, socialist, communist. It's just abysmal, but it's what the parties have created. And the people use the parties as a shortcut. They don't have the time, as we talked briefly the other day, they don't have the time to do the research because the issues have become so complex. So they default to whatever their party tells them. And in-group bias puts them in a social comparison. Looking, Democrats look at Republicans, Republicans look at Democrats, and it's an I'm good, you're bad type of scenario. So they have to default to whatever makes their side appear to win. That preserves their egos.
That's really interesting. Sorry, can I just pick up on that point, though, where you say you're good, you're bad, because you simply hold a different point of view. We're engaged in this referendum debate at the moment about a voice. And again, I worry, TJ, in our country that we can go down the road that you're going down in your country, where everything is seen through this prism of racism. I saw criticism of your vice president the other day, Kamala Harris, who was demonstrably incompetent. But because there was criticism of her, that person was deemed racist. It's crazy.
They default to that. And kudos to you guys. You do have, I think that referendum's going up on October 14th, if I recall.
Yeah.
I'll use that as an example. It's embarrassing to say, but U.S. citizens are on average geopolitically uninformed. If you were to ask 100 Americans who haven't immigrated from Australia or have family or business interests there what they thought of The Voice, I suspect 100% of them would think you were referring to a reality singing competition in the States that's
yes,
been on TV for 24 seasons. The reality is our citizens aren't particularly informed about their own national issues, let alone those of Australia. And if you need proof of that, as you point out, look who's leading our presidential polls.
Yeah. Well, just coming back to that, because you're right. Joe Biden is without an opponent at the moment. That could change, though. Donald Trump is way ahead in the Republican field. You said some things the other day regarding Joe Biden and his son Hunter that have quickly come to pass. They've come true this week. So, Nostradamus, put on your hat. Who will be the candidates for president next year, and who is going to win?
You know, I hesitate to pick candidates. I think I've suggested there are some good potential Republican candidates running. I do think Nikki Haley and Tim Scott have the background. There are a couple of others that are lesser known that probably won't get the push because they don't have the name recognition. On the Democratic side, you could see, I mean, you're going to see Gavin Newsom. He's been on a 175-day tour of I am not running for president, wink, wink. But he wouldn't be a good choice because he has a failed record. I would say you had some people in the last election. Amy Klobuchar comes to mind.
Right.
She's accomplished. She works with both sides and so forth. And that may be the problem. I don't know that either party wants somebody who's willing to step across the aisle to try and get things done. The long shot is the No Labels movement is talking about running a kind of a blended ticket, Democrat and Republican. They'll only do it, probably do it around April timeframe after the major primaries are over and the nominees become apparent. If it's Trump-Biden, they will definitely run somebody. It's probably going to be like a Joe Manchin from the Democratic side who's more neutral and somebody from the Republican side who's more neutral. And everybody likes to complain about that. The Democrats say that's going to guarantee Trump a victory because it'll pull people from the Democratic side from a Biden ticket. Well, the reality is there are a lot of people who would never vote for Trump, who never will vote for Trump, or will vote for him holding their noses unless they have a blended candidacy like that. And I think the ticket would pull from both sides.
Okay.
It's not only going to pull from the Democrats, it'll pull from the Republicans as well.
In percentage terms, because a lot of our listeners here will, you know, be very aware of what Donald Trump's done, who he is, and his chances. In percentage terms, what would Donald Trump's chances be of being the next president again next year?
Unfortunately, the political environment we're in, he's at least 50-50.
50-50.
If it's a Biden-Trump runoff, you know, it depends on what happens with these cases. If he's incarcerated at some point, that's going to push more people away. But that's where that third party could come in.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it's a close race if they run against each other. He might actually pull it out this time. Neither he nor the current president probably would be the best choice if we want to really break the paradigm that the parties have established.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully something will shake out and we'll have fresh candidates coming in.
Great stuff, TJ. Always appreciate it. Know you're busy and we'll talk to you again very soon, okay?
My pleasure, Greg.
Take care, TJ. TJ O'Hara, who you can always find online. It's